We're still in our series on the seven churches. I was looking at this flyer. We started back in April, May, June, and now it's July. So we already been 3 months in the book of Revelation. But I think I told you when we took on this series, sometimes it takes a year to teach the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation is an eschatology book. It's a doctrine of the last thing. And there's so much in there, that symbolism, so much in there, that allegory, but you need to learn and study the book of Revelation. Amen. The book of Revelation has one blessing. Blessed are those that read and hear the things of the Lord. So you're blessed that we're studying the book of Revelation. We've been talking about the seven churches. Seven in the providential hand of God is always a completeness, a perfect number. So God wrote, he used John on the Isle of Patmos to write a letter by the Holy Spirit to seven individual churches. These were literal churches that existed during the time that John wrote, but they're also a picture of the church age, from the time that the church was started on the day of Pentecost until the last day when the Gentiles added to the body of Christ. So we are in that church age. Amen. And so hopefully we have some good things that are about churches that apply to our church, but also we need to analyze the bad things that God says that apply to our church. We want to make sure that we, like the Bible say, we repent of those things and ask God to bless us. We start out with the church of Ephesus. Again, it was a church that lost its first love. We went to the church of Smyrna. Smyrna was what we consider one of the persecuted churches. It's a church that there were no rebukes, no faults, but it was a suffering church. Then we went to the worldly church, Pergamos. The church of Pergamos was a church that had kind of lost their loyalty to Christ. They got into cults. They got into idolatry and immorality. And then the worldly doctrine church, Thyatira, was a church that had totally got into Jezebel being a teacher, got into immorality, and are totally away from God. Today, we want to look at a church called Sardis. And if you notice, that church is dead. Now, I hate to say it, but there are some churches, they have buildings, they have people going through them, but they're dead. So we want to make sure that we are not a dead church. So take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We want to talk about the two churches that starts with S. Smyrna, we already talked about, was the suffering church. Now we're talking about Sardis. Revelation chapter 2, when you get there, say amen. I'm sorry, chapter 3. When you get there, say amen. Okay, we'll read the first six verses. I'll pray, then we'll get into the word of God. And unto the angel, that's again the pastor of the church in Sardis, write, these things said he that has the seven spirits of God. So it's talking about the deity of Jesus. He has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, which are the seven pastors. I know thy works. God know about that. That thou has a name, that thou livest and are, what that next word? Dead. A dead church. We don't want to be there, but he's calling this church. He said, you got a name and you act like you're living, but you're dead. And then he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. So again, they can do some things to not be dead. He says, strengthen those things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect or mature before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. That's that word repentance again. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis. So even though this church is dead, there was a few names in church which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk worthy, walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. We're going to get into that as I teach this morning, how your name cannot be blotted out if you're a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, your name can be blotted out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. We want to talk to you this morning about a church that's devoid of spiritual life and power. A dead church. Most of you all are familiar with Dracula. Dracula is supposed to be a vampire. He's actually a dead person, okay? So we don't want a church that's dead and a Dracula's the pastor. We don't want that. Okay, we want to have a live church. Okay, so let's pray to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day, a day that you have made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for our study today in the book of Revelation. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson that we had about the unforgiving servant. Lord, help us to have a forgiving spirit, a forgiving heart. We know that people will stab us in the back. People will do us wrong. But God, you said in your word that we ought to forgive because God, Christ, for God's sake, has forgiven us. So help us to have a forgiving heart. Thank you for our time of our fellowship, our time of our congregational singing. Thank you for our testimonies, Lord. Thank you for our opening prayer. Thank you for our time of our reading our covenant as we covenant one with another, Lord. Thank you for our time of announcements, Lord. Thank you for our time of offering. And then, Lord, thank you for the songs of our praise team, how they blessed our hearts. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you forgive me of my sins, that you fill me with your Holy Spirit for just a little while. Help me to preach and teach the uncompromising, the unavailing word of God. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Dead. Something dead ought to be buried. Amen. You ought not to be dead. Now, the Bible is talking about being a walking corpse. I think there's a movie, The Living Dead or something like that. That's the name. Where these are dead people. Well, John is writing to the church of Sardis. He's saying, the Lord's saying, you're dead. Even though you're going to church every day, you're still dead. Even though you're going through the motions, you're still dead. Even though you're breathing my air and you got blood in your veins. So we want to look at this today and make sure that we're not a dead church. Amen. We're not dead, that we're living for the Lord. Amen. This morning, this is the fifth church. Again, the name Sardis means dead, formal, ritualistic. They're going through the motion. They're dead. In this time in church history, this church existed, but it was dead. But two things that came out that was positive about this church, and I give them to you today, the distribution of the Holy Bible. Years ago that people went to church, they didn't have their own Bible. The Bible had not been disseminated among people. It was just one big Catholic church. The priest had a Bible, and he read it, and everybody listened to what the preacher said, and nobody had a Bible. Well, this came, and so the Reformation came, and so now people have individual Bible. That's a blessing. You have your own Bible. Let me just tell you, don't just open your Bible up on Sunday. Read your Bible every day. Amen? Your Bible is your food, your spiritual food. A lot of people knock the dust off on their Bible on Sunday like they had. Let me tell you, the Bible is something you ought to keep. It's just like you need physical food, you need spiritual food. You are blessed. There was a time in church history where people didn't have a Bible. John Wycliffe translated the Bible in English. The Bible was in Hebrew, was in Greek. So today, the sad part about America, I hate to say it, we got Bibles everywhere, but nobody reads them. They got Bible in prison. People go to prison, they have a Bible right there. They got Bible in hotel rooms. Amen? The Gideons. I hate to tell you this, but I grew up, and there was a big old Bible in our living room on the coffee table. Y'all remember the big old Bible? Had the names of our kids. And I hate to tell you this, I grew up in a home that had a Bible, we never read it. Most of y'all have two and three Bibles. Do y'all know that when those missionaries were here, one of the things that the missionary would talk about, Papua New Guinea, they was trying to print the Bible in their language. They don't even have the Bible. We have Bibles in every corner and we don't read them. We need to get back to opening up the Bible. You know what? We read everything but the Bible. We read the newspaper. Now, I'm not against newspaper. We read magazines. We read books. I mean, look on the internet. Somebody wrote a new book. We read about it. Well, let me just tell you, it's nothing wrong with reading a book, but we need to read the Bible. One reason that we're studying the book of Revelation is because most people won't read the book of Revelation because they say it's a scary book. Well, let me tell you, the book of Revelation is talking about things that are going to happen in the end time. It has a lot of symbolism, but it's not nothing to be scared of because if you're a Christian, you see the end of the matter. God is going to raise up new heaven and new earth. Amen? He's going to do away with all the enemies of God. So that was a good thing that came out of the Reformation. Another thing that came out of the Reformation was justification by faith. Martin Luther, we're going to talk about a little later, he was a monk. At that time, Martin Luther was trying to do all the rituals in the Catholic Church. He was trying to do penance. He was trying to go out and feed the hungry. And one day he took a book and he read in the book of Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved." And he found out that you're saved by faith alone. You don't have to have work. Now, you ought to have work, but he learned that. And so that came out of this Reformation, that is grace, the doctrine of justification by faith. We're saved by faith. So as we look at this morning, this church of Ephesus, we want to look at some things that have happened. There's a couple of people that believe that you don't need to go to the doctor. That's what you call dead. If you're sick and you got a disease, nobody should tell you not to go to the doctor. You need to go to the doctor. Amen. But there are some people who say, well, just let your body, it'll take care of itself. Let me tell you, the body will not take care of itself. That's why God gave medicine. That's why God gave hospital. That's why God gave doctor. Now, I'm not against herbs. I'm not against quantum physics and all the pills that you take. I'm not against all the herbs. But let me tell you, you need to go to the doctor, because the doctor have been to school, been to medical school, and he learned. So we want to look at taking care of the body, doing those things that bring honor and glory to the body. We don't want the church to be so caught up in the... They got some beautiful buildings. You go up in Europe or you're in America, they got these, what they call these cathedrals. They got stained glass windows. They got beautiful steeples, but the church is dead. Amen? I don't know whether you know it or not, but they have churches closing every year. We got churches on every corner, but some of them are empty. Amen? So here it is. The church is not the building. Amen? The church is the people. So we don't want to be a dead church. This church in Sardis was a dead church. It had lost its vibrant. It had lost its fervor. It had lost its things that it needs to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at 3 points today on why we all not want to be a dead church, on why we want to not have devoid of spiritual life. Point number one, the real proof of a dead church is souls are not being saved and souls are not being baptized. Now, one thing about our church, I will say that we did have people come to know the Lord, and some of you have already baptized. Amen? So that tells you that the church is alive, okay? But there are still people out there who need to be saved. When we went down in this apartment complex, we talked to those people. But what we need to do, we need to get them to come to the church, or we need to go to their house and show them the plan of salvation. The church grows by people being saved. Amen? Not only are people being saved in the church, Christians ought to be edified and built up. That's one reason we study in the book of Revelation, so you'll learn more about the Bible. You'll learn some truths about the Bible. If you're not growing, it's just like a baby. If you're not growing, you're stagnated. One thing about a river, if it's not bleeding off, it will become stale and stink. So what you need to do, you need to grow. How do you grow, Pastor? You learn from the Word of God, and you apply it in your life, and you learn more stuff about the Word of God. If I ask you some questions, I used to be the president of the seminary, but if I ask you questions like how many books in the Bible, you should say 66. If I ask you how many books in the Old Testament, you should say 39. If I ask you how many books in the New Testament, you should say 27. If I ask you questions about the names of God, you should know Jehovah Jireh. You should know Jehovah Nissi. You should know Elohim. You should know what those names mean. That means that you're growing. Amen? We've been studying it. And we've been studying the names of God. We've been studying the books of the Bible. And now we're studying the book of Revelation. So the church ought to be a place where you're growing. It ought to be a place where you're ministering. Jesus told his church that he had not found their works perfect. In other words, they were not complete. They had no activity. They had no fruit. They had no substance. So something that's dead is not moving. I don't know if you've ever been to the morgue, but when you go to the morgue, they have a bunch of dead bodies. Those dead bodies are dead. Amen? Now, I don't know whether you heard this or not, but every now and then, they think their body dead and it's not dead. They've had some situations like that where they actually thought, they went to the hospital and they thought, somebody had said it was a dead body and it came back to life. So it had some life in it. So don't call everything dead if it's not dead, because God can give life. God imparts life. And so this church was dead. But Jesus Christ said, I am the one that has the seven spirits. I am the one that has the seven stars. I am the one that can give life. I am the one that can make you joyous. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let me tell you, you ought to not be serving the Lord and you ought to not be down in the dumps. Christians ought to not be like they're sucking on lemons. Christians ought to be joyous. Amen? You ought to be peace. You ought to have happiness. Now, I'm not talking about depending on things, because Christians go through storms. Christians have fire. But don't let the storms take your joy. Amen? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy ought to be deep down. Now, people are trying to take your joy. But Jesus said, the joy that I gave to you, no man can take it from you. The world will take its joy. But Jesus gave us joy that goes down in our soul. Amen? So we don't want to be a dead church. We want to continue to see souls saved. There's some people in here that I've been talking to. I need to baptize them, but I want them to be mature enough to understand what baptism. Baptism don't save you. Baptism is just a picture that you've been saved. Amen? And then we want to be evangelized. We want to go out and win people to the Lord. The situation in this church was serious. These people have gone to sleep. Y'all heard of Rip Van Winkle, right? Rip Van Winkle was somebody that went to sleep and woke up 50 years later and did not know. In the Bible, we have a name called Ichabod. Ichabod was a son that Eli's daughter-in-law had. Eli fell back and broke his neck. His daughter-in-law died at birth, and the son's name was Ichabod because the glory of the Lord had left the church. So we don't want the glory of the Lord to leave the church. Amen? Just this morning, when we came and had Sunday school, the word of God should be ministering to you. Amen? Just this morning, when the praise team got singing today, those songs should have been something that fill your soul. Amen? So we need the church to be live. We need the church to be real. I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person that I don't have to have a lot of people to praise the Lord. Amen? I can praise the Lord all by myself because I know the Lord is good. The Lord is worthy to pray. Look, I can read the Bible and have a Holy Ghost fit time because I know what God means to me. I can think about what God did in my life. I don't need a crowd. All I need is Jesus and me, and we have a good time. So let me tell you, be alive. Be for real. Let the joy of the Lord flood your soul. Be excited. I used to be the youth pastor, and I used to tell them, be excited about the Lord. Be exuberant about the Lord. Have some joy in your heart. Be excited when they say sing for the Lord, sing for the Lord. When they say serve the Lord in gladness. Be excited. So we don't want to be a dead. Point number two, Jesus said, if you don't come to life, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back as a thief in the night. Now, if you know what a thief does, a thief don't let you know he's coming. Amen? When Jesus used the term, I'm coming as a thief in the night, he's talking about you need to be watchful, because when I come back, you won't know it. And by the way, everybody think Jesus is coming back on a Sunday at 11 o'clock. No, that's when everybody hold on a Sunday. No, he's not coming back when everybody got on their suit and their dress and got their Bible and going to church. He's coming back like he did with those 10 virgins, maybe at midnight. He's coming back when everything is wrong. He's coming back as a thief in the night. The Bible says in several places, it says in Revelation 3, and thou shalt not know what hour that I will come. Matthew 24:42 says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. In the watch, a thief will come. Therefore, be ye always ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh and raptured the church. For ye yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 5:2, he so comes as a thief in the night. When Jesus Christ coming, you won't know it. I don't know if you ever had your house broken in or you had a thief, but a thief don't let you know he's coming. A thief robs you when you're not there. And so Jesus said, when I come for the church, when I come to call you home, you're not going to know it. So make sure that you're serving the Lord. Make sure that you're in his will. Because if he come and you're sinning, guess what? You're going to be ashamed because he caught you in the bad mood. Amen? So the Bible say, be ye ready. Matthew 24:43 say, if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would not suffer his house to be broken in. Therefore, take charge Don't let the Lord come back and catch you. The day of the Lord comes as a thief, and I get your house in order. Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. He was one of the best kings in Israel. He broke down all the groves, and he tore out all the idols, and he brought back in the worship of the Lord. He brought back in a time Pentecost. He brought back in a time where they had the tabernacle. But then Hezekiah didn't have some things together, and the Bible said, Hezekiah, get your house in order or you're going to die. And God told Hezekiah he was going to die. Hezekiah began to cry out to the Lord. And Hezekiah told the Lord, Lord, but I've done all these things. And Lord, I won't do it. And God heard Hezekiah cry. And God gave Hezekiah 15 more years. So let me tell you, be ready. Get your house in order. There's some things that you haven't done for the Lord. Get them right today. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. If you need to do something for the Lord, you need to get some things out of your life, get them right today. I was talking to a young lady, and she was interested in doing some things for the Lord. And she told me, she said, but I'm trapped, preacher. I said, what do you mean I'm trapped? She said, I'm trapped. I can't get out. I said, you're not trapped. I said, if you want to do right, just do right. Make some decisions to do right for the Lord, and he will bless you. So she called me the other day, and she said, I'm moving out. I said, what you doing? I'm moving out. She said, I was shacking, and it's wrong, and I decided I'm going to get it right. And she said, and I hated to tell the people, everybody got upset, but I decided that I need to do some things. So let me tell you, if there's some things in your life that are wrong, then you get it right. Because don't let the Lord come back and catch you doing wrong. Amen? Do those things that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. And again, it's between you and the Lord. I tell people all the time, it's not what the pastor say, it's what the Holy Spirit of God put on your heart. So do those things that are right. Don't let the Lord come back as a thief in the night and catch you. Be all ye ready. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know ye that he is the Lord, and he loves you, and he wants the best for you. So do those things that will honor and glorify the Lord. Amen. Hezekiah was given 15 more years. In Revelation 16:16, he said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments. They shall walk with me in white, and they shall be worthy. So Jesus Christ is coming back for the faithful. He's coming back for the righteous. He's coming back for those that love his appearing. The Bible says we will get a crown of glory for all those that love his appearing. So look forward to the Lord. He's coming back, and he can come back at any day. We use the term imminent. He can come back at any second. He can come back in the next minute, or he might not come back for the next 20 years. But the difference is I need to be ready. Amen? Point number one is why we don't want to be a dead church. Number one is we want to win souls to the Lord. We want to have the saints strengthened. Point number two, he's coming as a thief in the night. And my last point is make sure that your name is in the Lamb Book of Life. See, Jesus is keeping records. A lot of times people don't keep records very well. One of the things they say about the history of America, they say some of the stuff has been wrote out of the history. That's why we have Black History Month, because we wrote a lot of the history out. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ don't miss anything. He's keeping records. So guess what? Make sure your name in the Lamb Book of Life. You say, what do you mean, preachers? There's two books. There's a Book of Life, and there's a Lamb Book of Life. Everybody that's born, name is in the Book of Life. Even the children that was aborted. Because what happened was, when the sperm and the egg became an embryo and a fetus, it was a person. Even though they aborted those children are in heaven today. Are y'all listening to me? Their names are in the Book of Life. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, my name was written in the Book of Life. But if I don't receive Christ, my name is in the Book of Life, but not the Lamb Book of Life. So make sure your name is in the book. The disciples went out, and they was casting out demons, and the demon was subject to them, and they came back and tell Jesus, say, oh, we've done all these miracles in your name, and the demons were subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, don't rejoice because the demons, but rejoice that your name is in the Lamb Book of Life. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Jesus Christ said that if you're not saved, your name will be blotted out. Now, let me explain that, because there have been a lot of bad teaching on that. A Christian cannot lose his salvation. It's the same as being born. I use the example of an egg. When an egg get ready to crack, and the bitter get ready to come out. The egg crack and the bitter comes out of the egg. That bitter is born. Amen. He cannot be unborn. Once you're born again, you cannot be unborn. So once I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I cannot lose my salvation. Now, what people teach is that, well, if I get into sin, I lose my salvation. Well, I don't lose my salvation. I lose my joy. Are you listening to me? I don't lose my salvation. And so what Jesus is saying is your name cannot be blotted out. Moses got real frustrated. Moses had all these children in the wilderness, and all the children in the wilderness was complaining and murmuring, and they was asking for water and they was asking for food. And Moses got so upset, and then Moses went up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. And when he came back down, the people were dancing, they were bound to a golden calf, and they were naked. And Moses was so upset, he tore down the statue and grind it up and made the people drink water out of it. Y'all remember that? And then Moses told God this, saying, God, you need to forgive these people. If you don't forgive these people, blot my name out of the book. And God told Moses, now you know I can't blot your name out of the book. Your name cannot be blotted out of the book. You are a child of God. I want to get it to you straight today. Christians, you will never lose your salvation. If you're born again, if you've been saved, you're on your way to heaven. Amen? Now, some people teach that you lose it when you sin. No, you don't. Some people say you lose it when you stop coming to church. No, you don't. Some people teach you lose it when you, let me tell you, you can stop going to church, you can stop reading your Bible, you can stop praying, but if you're saved and on your way to heaven, you'll always go to heaven. Now, I would challenge you not to be chastised by the Lord, because whom the Lord loves, he chastised. So when you're saved and you begin to do wrong, expect God to chastise you. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, same thing with parents. When your children did wrong, what you did, you whooped them, right? So guess what? You got a God who's going to whoop you. You say, I'm grown. It don't matter how grown you are. God has a whipping stick, and he will straighten you out. There's a man in the Bible named Lot. Y'all know the story of Lot. Well, was Lot saved? Lot was saved. Lot was living down in Sodom and Gomorrah in a wicked homosexual city, but he was saved. Lot could not win his family to the Lord, but he was saved. He went out and preached to his sons-in-law. He couldn't win them to the Lord because he had a bad testimony, but they laughed at him, but he was saved. Not only was he saved, he got drunk. Did y'all know the story of Lot? And committed incest with his own daughters. You say that man wasn't saved. Yes, he was. That tell me that a saved man can do anything. Amen. This man committed adultery or fornicating with his own daughter. His own daughter had a baby. The baby name was Moab and Ammon. One, his oldest daughter had a baby and his younger daughter. But the Bible said, Lot, the righteous man, vexed his righteous soul in the city of Sodom. So, yes, Lot is in heaven. Now, he won't be in the hallmark of faith. He won't be around the throne of God with all the faithful, but he's in heaven. So what I'm saying, make sure your name is in the Lamb Book of Life. Jesus said, if your name is in the Lamb Book, I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father is greater than them, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Your salvation is secure. You're in Jesus' hand. And over Jesus' hand is the Father's hand. And because you're in Jesus' hand and the Father's hand, you can't get out. So nobody can pluck. Now, people say, I can jump out. Now, how are you going to jump out of God's hand? You ain't got that kind of power. You're not stronger than God. So you're on your way to heaven. Now, Jesus said this back in this church of Sardis. He said, Not only will you walk with me in white, but if your name in the Lamb Book of Life, he said, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven, and before his angel. So when we get to heaven, you're going to be at the judgment seat. And Jesus is going to have to stand up as your lawyer or your advocate. And he's going to have to say, John Jeter accepted me in 1986. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. He's going to confess me before his Father and before his angel. Now, even today, there's what we call The devil and his demons are always, he's called the accuser of the brother. He's always trying to find a fault in my life. So every day, the devil go before the Lord and say, look at him now, and he ain't doing right. Look at him. But every day, Jesus stands up with them holes in his hand and holes in his side and say, but he's mine. I died for him. I'm his lawyer. I'm his judge. So let me tell you, Jesus is going to confess me and you and everybody that receive him as a person. He's going to confess you. So look, if God is for you, who can be against you? So look, don't let nobody tell me I'm not going to heaven. I know. 1 John says it like this. I wrote these things that you may know that you have eternal life. People say, you can't know you're going to heaven. I know I'm going. People say, you can't know. The Bible does teach that. The Bible teach epignosis. The Bible teach full knowledge. The Bible teach me that I, and by the way, everybody can quote this with me. You can say it with me, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's you and me, believing in him shall what? Not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting means forever. Everlasting means as long as the world. So look, I'm saved forever. You're saved forever. No matter how I live, even though I want to live right, I'm going to heaven. So this church of Sardis, we don't want to be like the church of Sardis. They were dead. They weren't winning souls. They were going through the motion. They weren't growing up the saints. And Jesus said, if you don't get it right, I'm going to come and I'm going to be like a thief. I'm going to come and snatch you up. And then if you don't get it right, I'm going to blot your name out. So make sure our name is not blotted out, which it can't be. And make sure that when he comes as a thief in the night, that we are in compliance. We're in the will of God, bringing honor and glory to his name. Amen. We want to be a church that bring honor and glory to the Lord. Would you bow your heads?